podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Typically, when I stand before you, I am nervous, and I shake and I rattle and roll. I shake. This morning, I'm not nervous before you. I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm excited to get to share from the Word. Typically on a Sunday morning when I get the opportunity to preach, we do things a little differently. We get a little crazy. So we're just going to start off with that. We'll get it out of the way. So here's how this works. If you were a father in the room, will you please stand? So here's what we're going to do. If your father is standing up, what I want you to do is, if you're sitting beside him, cool. If you're not, if you're up here, if you're down there, will you go hug your father and tell him that you love him? So if your father is here and he's standing, will you go hug him and tell him that you love him? That goes for you if you're 3, 4, 5, or 55. Will you hug your dad and tell him you love him? Hey, you gonna preach? And there we go. Awesome. So here's how this works. Thank you, fathers. You may be seated. So here's where we get a little crazy. So if you look around this room, and there is someone in here who is a father figure to you. Maybe not by blood, maybe not by birth, maybe adopted, maybe just a spiritual father to you. Will you go out of your way at this time to go find them and hug them? Sweet. So now we've gotten the moving and everything out of the way. Thank you, fathers, for the men that you are, for the way that you've raised your children, for all that you've done. Thank you for being the spiritual leaders of this church and for being an example to the younger generation. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to take a few moments. And so my Father's Day's gift to you will be, I will not be long-winded this morning. We will be short, precise, and really share with you my favorite father-son story from the New Testament. So I just want to share that with you real simply, real basic. But I want to take some time just to look through it. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. So verse 11 says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is still alive. Thank you that it is still important to our lives, God. God, would you speak to us, God? More of you, less of me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to start right off verse 12, the prodigal son's side of the story. So we're going to kind of hit it from the son's side of the story. Right in verse 12, he says to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So basically, the youngest son goes to his dad and says, "Hey, I want my inheritance now. I know you're alive, I know you're healthy, but I want my inheritance now. I don't want to have to wait for you to die. And quite frankly, I don't even want to have to linger around here anymore. I want what's mine, and I want to go." So what he does is he basically demands of his father, "Give me what's mine." And his father basically divides it up in two, because he has two sons, and gives it to him. Everything that he's worth. So everything that father is worth, he divides in half, and then gives what's rightfully his son's to his sons. Point number, letter A, is children make mistakes. I can think back to my younger years growing up in Puerto Rico, and I can think of some mistakes that I've made. But there's no need to talk about that this morning. The point remains, children make mistakes. And the prodigal son had just made a mistake. So he gathered all of his inheritance, everything he had been given, basically his father's, half of his father's entire worth. He gathered it and he set off to go away. He went off to go see this wonderful, big, great world. Story goes that he went out and he lived it up. He partied like a rock star. He had fun. But then he found himself broke. And on top of that, the country found itself in a time of famine. So in his poverty, he finds himself broke, homeless, starving, with nowhere to go. And so what does he do? He basically rents himself out to a pig farmer to feed his pigs. So his sole purpose now is to make sure that these pigs get fed every day. In that, it says he was so hungry that while he fed these pigs, he daydreamed, in essence, about eating pig food. I don't know if any of you have pigs or have ever fed pigs. But for me, when I've seen what pigs eat, it's not something that, you know, makes my taste buds water. And it's not really anything that looks appetizing. It might have 6 or 7 days ago, but it's not something that gets me excited. And quite frankly, it kind of makes my stomach churn a little bit. Thank you. and so this son finds himself feeding pigs and daydreaming about eating what they're eating. And in that, About that time, he realizes, here I am starving, and surely my father's servants have extra food. And so the second point is, children learn from their mistakes. So when he reaches this all-time low and kind of starts thinking about eating pig slop, he comes to his senses. He decides, it's time to go home. It's time to go back to my father. I've already taken my inheritance, so therefore I don't deserve to be his son, but at least he can hire me as a servant. And if he'll hire me as a servant, then at least I'll have food in my stomach and a place to sleep. So as he makes his way back to his home, he has that time to think about what he's going to say to his dad. Time to kind of word it all out in his head. It's at this point of the story that I can relate 100% with the son. Because I have made mistakes in my life, and I've gotten caught. And if you're human, that long trip home, or that long walk back to the house, or that long sit in the principal's office, you start to think, okay, how am I going to word this? How am I going to say this? How am I going to present this? And it seems to go on forever and ever and ever. And in your head, you think, all right, I've worded this perfectly. I'm going to be good. This is great. And so the scripture gives us an insight to that in verse 18 and 19, where it says, I will set out and go back. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So the prodigal son decides that when he returns home, he'll work like a servant. Third point is this. Children ask for forgiveness of their mistakes. Verse 21 tells us that when he saw his father, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Children do ask for forgiveness. It may not always be when you want them to, and it may not always be the same day, week, month. And in some cases, it may take years for them to apologize. But when they realize that they've made a mistake, ultimately, they will ask for forgiveness. So this is the story of the prodigal son. This is a story that if you grew up in church, you've heard. If you've sat in a church for any point of time, you've heard. If you went to VBS or you've been in Sunday school, you know this story. You can almost recite it. But the flip side of this story is the father's side of the story. The side of the story that ultimately doesn't get told all the time. And since it's Father's Day, it makes sense to look at the father's side of the story. So the father's side of the story, which gets overlooked, also starts in verse 12. So if you hit rewind and we go all the way back to verse 12 and that part where the son says, Father, give me my share of the estate. When the son looks at the father and says, give me my share of the estate, in essence, he says, Dad, money is more important than you. Dad, I want to live it up more than I care about our family's well-being. Dad, I don't really care if you live or die. Just get me what's mine, and I'm going to have fun. Think about it this way, for mathematical purposes. Let's say he's worth $100,000. Everything he owns is worth $100,000. His son is entitled to half, $50,000. And so scripture doesn't really dig into it, but I would like to think in my head that in order to give his son that $50,000, he's going to have to sell some things. He's going to have to get rid of some things. So ultimately he says, Dad, give me what's mine. I don't care what you have to get rid of. Give me what's mine. And so the father, according to scripture, very nice and brief, he divided his property between them. And that's all we get. But ultimately, he does just that. He divides it in half and gives his son his share. Point A, parents must allow their children to make mistakes. Think about it. This father knows that his son is not ready to go out into the world. especially with that kind of money. And he probably knows from experience. His father was, you know, he was given his sons for a reason. And so this father's probably seen some things and been through some things, and ultimately is trying to teach his children. He knows the temptations that his son is going to face. But ultimately, he allows his son to make this mistake. I can think of times in my life where I have made mistakes. And now that I'm older and have become a parent, I can remember times when I would ask to do something or demand to spend my money on something. And my parents knew, first off, that it was stupid or it was a waste, but still allowed me to do it in hopes that I would learn from my mistake, in hopes that it would make me a better person. As the son leaves, when he gets his inheritance and he leaves and he heads out to the wonderful world, the story goes with him. That's why it's called the story of the prodigal son. It doesn't stay with the father. I would like to think if it was produced by Hollywood and it was made into a movie, as that son wanders off and they kind of clip into him having fun and doing stuff, they would also clip back home. And when they clip back home, what you would see is a father on his knees. Second point, parents pray for their children while they wander. We're never told what the father does. But being a father, I know personally from the moment we found out that Riley was coming into this world that we began to pray for. Simple prayer. God, I just pray that Riley would be happy, healthy, and strong. Prayed it for her, prayed it over her, prayed while she was in Ashley's stomach, while Ashley was sleeping, prayed it over her. Now that Riley is here, continue to pray over her and with her. And so I would like to think that the father in this story is on his knees praying for his son. Because if we can think back, this is a time when there is no computers, no cell phones, no social media. So there's no way of knowing what his son's up to, where he's at, if he's alive. There's no way of knowing. But I believe that if we could clip back to the father, you'd find a father that is praying for his son. I believe he prayed for his safety, for his health. Third point is parents forgive their children. My favorite part of the story is found in verse 22 through 24. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." So they began to celebrate. What a picture. Son takes half of everything you're worth and goes and squanders it, wastes it, flushes it down the toilet. And upon his return, that's not even brought up. Well, wait a minute, you know, you already spent yours, so go work with the servants. Or now, wait a minute, you didn't even contact us while you were gone. Or, hey, how much do you have left? Did you waste it all? There isn't any of that. The son, if you read on, the son doesn't even get through his whole spiel. And so if you've ever had to practice one out, typically you get through the whole thing. But he doesn't even get through it. He gets to the father, "I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And at that point, his father embraces him, takes him in, calls the servants and says, "Hey, let's celebrate. My son was dead, he's now alive, was lost, now he's found. Let's have a party." This is the kind of father that you and I have this morning in God. This is the kind of father that we serve. See, the story of the prodigal son is my story. And it may be yours. It may be your spiritual story. See, we are the prodigal children. When it comes to your sermon points, you know, if you're a parent, you're like, yeah, children make mistakes. Yeah, children need to learn. Hey, this morning you are the child. Young or old, you are the child. And the reality is, we have made mistakes in our lives. Hopefully, we've learned from those mistakes. And hopefully, we've asked for forgiveness of them. But see, for some of us, we'd rather eat pig slop than humble ourselves and return home. And so for some of us, we've wandered so far that there's no way I'm coming back. And in some of our minds, what we've done is too big, too bad, too horrible to ever return. We feel as though we have lost our right to be called a child of God. But our Father in heaven is a forgiving, merciful, gracious Father, abounding in love. And he's better than the father in this story. See, God has allowed for you and I to make choices. And he's allowed for you and I to make mistakes along this journey. Yeah, he's like a parent. He knows the outcome. He knows, and this is probably not the best decision. I really don't want you to make it, but I'm going to allow you to make it. Out of hopes that we will learn from it and become the men and women he's called us to be. On the flip side, though, when you as a child make a mistake, your parent isn't with you most of the time. Typically, you sneak out, make that mistake. God is with you everywhere you go. So when you think you've left, he's with you. When you think you've gone into a place that he's not going to go into, he's with you. When you think, man, I've gotten so far away, there's no way God's here, he's still with you. In fact, he's gone with you everywhere. And he's watched every decision you've made. But he's also watched over you. He's also protected you. And so regardless of what you've done, where you've gone, how you've done, the Father is standing with arms wide open this morning, eagerly awaiting your return. So this morning, maybe you're sitting here and you're good. That's great. I'm so happy. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've wandered, or you've begun to wander. Maybe you've gotten off track. Maybe you've decided, I want to experience a little bit of what this world has to offer. I want to tell you that the Father is eagerly awaiting your return. And it doesn't matter what you've done. He is waiting with his arms wide open to receive you and to throw a party in celebration of your return. Scripture tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalms 103:12 says, God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. So this morning, if you're sitting here and you find yourself astray, wandering, lost, distant from God, I want to give you an opportunity to come home. Give you an opportunity to say, God, I've made some mistakes. I've learned from these mistakes. Will you forgive me? This morning, maybe you're mourning. Maybe you just need to take some time to talk to God. Maybe you're so far out there that your relationship, your communication with God is non-existent. And so maybe this morning you just need to have a time where you just come to him and say, God, I need you. Maybe you just need to come home. This morning, what I hope you know is that we serve a loving Father. And so in my notes it says, just like the Father in the story. But actually, our Father in heaven is better than the Father in the story. Hey, better than your earthly father. I became a father January 16, 2016, and I love that little turd. With everything that is in me, unconditionally love Riley. Never knew I could love someone that much. And God loves me that much more. And God loves you that much more. His love for you this morning is unconditional. There's nothing you can do, say, go, that will make him stop loving you. So if you've made mistakes, and we're all human, we make mistakes, if you've put something else above him, if you've wandered away, if you've wasted your talents, I want to give you a chance this morning to come to the altar and to talk to him. To come and say, God, I'm coming home. And so, if you're anything like I am when I get caught and get in trouble, you're already starting to go, okay, now what do I have to say to God? How do I word this? God, forgive me. And the cool part is, just like that story, as you begin to come, he's going to meet you. He's not going to stand there and wait, like, okay, come on, let's make it happen, you know? He's going to come to you with arms wide open and embrace you. And Scripture, man, he'll forgive you. Remove that sin as far as the east is from the west. So I don't know what you're holding on to. I don't know what you're going through. But I encourage you to come back to the Father. To come back. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is alive. God, thank you for the stories within the word. God, thank you that you are a good, loving Father. God, thank you that you love me with all my faults, mistakes, and failures, God. God, thank you that you love each one of us so much that you sent your Son to die for our sins. And so, God, as we enter in this time of worship and prayer, God, will you continue to speak to the hearts? God, will you continue to call us back to you, back to a deeper, more sincere relationship with you, God? God, we love you with everything we are. And we just ask that you would just show up and show off, God. And for those in this room, as they begin to draw near to you, or as they begin to ready themselves to move, God, will you meet them? And God, for those who are kind of on the fence, God, will you give them that extra push? And God, as these people come forward and as they come back to you, whether it be today or later this week, God, will you, like only you can, will you send them a spiritual father, a spiritual mother, an accountability partner, someone that will walk this journey with them, God, someone that will hold them accountable, someone that will look after them. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you are the best example of a father. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.